Hey, welcome back to the Subbeacon. Once again, if you are hearing this, you are listening to the free feed. Make sure to sign up for the Patreon. Go to subbeacon.com, sign up for the Patreon, and you'll be, you know, all up to date. This episode is 2 weeks old. We're talking about the Jungle Cruise, the Disney movie that is on premiere access and in theaters, still in theaters, holding okay, interestingly. But you should sign up so you can listen to this live as it happens instead of after the fact. This week we're going to be talking about the documentary Val, about Val Kilmer on Amazon Prime. It's really interesting and poignant. It's got lots of footage from Val Kilmer's years, lots of behind-the-scenes stuff that nobody's ever seen before. So check that out. I think you'll like it. And we're going to do it. We're going to try and do a special bonus members only, always members only forever episode that's going to be about, it's going to be a Val Kilmer movie draft. It's something kind of special we got cooked up. But I think it'll be fun. I think you'll enjoy it. And you will only be able to hear that if you sign up for the Patreon at subbeacon.com. Okay?
My name is Dr. Lily Houghton. My brother and I are looking for passage upriver.
What's out there in the jungle? It's not a fun vacation.
Well, I'm not here for a vacation.
Legend has it that there is a tree that possesses unparalleled healing power. It will change medicine forever.
And you need someone to help you find it.
Here we go.
Sometimes it just needs a bit of a...
Nobody touches my engine but me. What did I just...
There you go.
Hello, and welcome to another edition of the Subbeacon. I am your host, sitting in for Victorino Mattis today. I'm JVL, and I'm here with Sunny Bunch and our very special guest, Ryan Kinney, our buddy and one of the hosts of the SSEU podcast. Just a reminder that the Subbeacon is available exclusively on Patreon at subbeacon.com. We also have a store. We can buy Subbeacon merchandise, so go get some shirts, tell your friends to become patrons, leave us reviews, suggestions, ideas at subbeacon.com. Ryan Kinney, welcome to the show. How are you? Do you have your poop knife with you?
I travel with, we have a travel poop knife that we take for vacations, and you know, we don't put it in anything. We just goes in right in the suitcase, you know, and you don't have to wash it off.
To put it's it in great. A bag.
Would you care to tell Sonny a little bit about the poop knife? Because I'm getting the sense from the expression on his face that he has no idea what we're talking about.
No idea what a poop knife is.
I didn't know what it was before 2 weeks ago when... So on our last episode, one of the other hosts, Chris, brought to our attention that there is such a thing as a poop knife. And there's a famous, apparently not that famous, Reddit thread to where a guy was talking about how he was at his weed dealer's house, and apparently what you do when you buy weed from a guy, you also sit there and smoke, and then you go use their bathroom. And in his family growing up, his family took very big dumps, and so they had a knife that they hung, you know, it obviously you're not going to keep it in the bathroom. They hung it in the laundry room because that was the middle point between two bathrooms. And you can't, no, not everybody can afford two poop knives. So you gotta have one in the laundry room.
Question.
Yeah.
Question. Is this like a butter knife or is it like a Bowie knife or something in the middle? Is
it
like a
steak knife? The Reddit thread made it seem like it was something in the middle, kind of like a steak knife or a big
fish knife. Kitchen utility knife.
Yeah, utility knife.
And not so like a chef's knife. You're not using your your Henkel or whatever in that.
Very important that the blade not be serrated. I
don't know how often they're sharpening it, to be honest. So you chop up your dump, and this is what people do, and then you flush it down, because. I don't know. And so he asked his weed dealer, he yelled out, "I need the poop knife." Which, of course, he responded, "What? What?" And there were other people there. The music was turned down.
What are you talking about?
Yeah. But this is not just unique to this guy, because this is going to go out on a wider audience than he probably wanted. But Chris found out that his dad There was a knife that was in the bathroom. He actually kept his in the bathroom at his dad's house. And
the secrets his parents dad admitted keep from their children.
It was to chop up poop.
Well, this is just further proof of my theory that on the internet, you can find 15 people who have done anything.
Yeah.
Who like this is the organizing principle of the internet, and also why it's a terrible thing that is going to end up destroying humanity. Because it used to be that all of us weirdos were separated from one another, and we just like wondered if there was like a whole community of knife wielding poop maniacs out there. And it turns out that on Reddit, all 15 of them can come to the same place, and eventually they'll converge.
It's amazing.
And just I gotta before you move on from me, I was nervous last night as my wife was gently sobbing herself to sleep when I told her what the guest host sub-beacon Patreon tier cost us. But being here now, it's totally worth it. And I don't even care what Vic used my credit card to order from Estonia.
Tokyo. It's always Tokyo. Santino, how are you, bud?
You can't return those body pillows. You can't send them back. It's not allowed. I'm good. I have a very exciting news. I made my first trip to the Lego store with my 6-year-old daughter.
Ooh.
And for her birthday, and I let her pick out a couple of Lego sets, and we did them. And I have Lego. I have dad Lego questions. JVO,
bring them on.
So, it's been a long time since I have put together any Lego thing. I mean, like, since my childhood. And, like, back when I did, I was also not really buying the fancy, you know, Disney sets or the Star Wars sets or whatever. But when my daughter had opened them, before I, like, had any idea she was going to do this, she opened them and she opened all of the bags. Mm. At the same time and dump them in a pile together. Mm-hmm. Now, are those bags separated by like stages?
Yes.
Okay. Well, so this is going to probably obviate one of my questions. But my first question was: when you are doing something like this with your younger child, are you the brick grabber? Because I have found that it is intensely miserable waiting for her to find the piece to put together on the next step. It's just like, no, I see it right there. And then she'll look at me and she'll say, do you see it? And I say, yes. And I wait for her to get it. And eventually I just have to reach and get it.
Okay. So maybe this will be like the poop knife and every family does it differently. But my understanding is that the optimal division of labor for Legos is that the parent is the piece wrangler. The child is the builder.
Yes.
Because you want them getting all of those reps on spatial relations, right?
Right.
And seeing where details come into. But the menial task of just picking out the, you know, the red 2x1s out of the big giant pile, that's monkey work. You don't need to they don't need to do that.
I think there's something to be said for like the patience that it takes to actually accomplish this goal, but I don't have it myself just watching her try to do it.
The patience all comes from the amount of time that they're able to focus on the single task of building the thing they're building. How
Turns
many pieces were the what was the set that she opened all the bags on?
Like 260 something.
Oh, that's not bad.
I mean, whatever. It wasn't like the end of the world. Everything was still there. We were able to get it done. The time limit on the amount of time that she can focus on this is approximately 27 minutes. That was about the
five amount of, or six.
She's six. Yeah. No, it was fine. It was a lot of fun doing it. Second question: how much help do you give with the actual building? How many attempts do you give them to get it right before you kind of dive in there and say, I gotta do this?
Ryan, do you have thoughts? I mean, I have very strong thoughts on this. How does it work in your family?
You know how in the Lego movie the Chris Pratt character kind of just made things that weren't supposed to be? That's more
abominations.
I have most of my kids. I have one that's very like wanted everything built exactly right. The other three, they were like, I would help them and kind of want them to build it, but then they decided they were just going to make their own thing, combining different sets. And I know this is a very, that's a no-no for Lego people, but that's
no,
what
I disagree. So long as it's intentional, that's great, right? If they're just like, hey, I'm like a tuner, I'm going to mod out this set and make it my own, that's great. If they're trying to follow the directions and having trouble, that's different. Now, Sunny, is this her first set?
Yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't even really mean the actual, like, where the pieces go on the thing. I mean the actual, like, putting together. Like, you
the
know,
because
it takes some, like, actual finger strength to get some of those pieces in there.
I think it's best to wait until they ask for help.
Okay.
Now, and what you will find, I am certain, is that there will be certain types of pieces and configurations of joins that are easy for them and certain types that are very hard. So for instance, G-Money, anything that are the little round studs, he just is like, you got to do those. I can't do those pieces. Because whatever the manipulation, you know, the super fine motor coordination of something that is 1.5 millimeters wide and pretty thin is just with the rounded edges is too hard for him. He can do the square versions of those, the little one-by-ones, but not the round studs. So, but I really think you don't want to jump in and take this over and make it your project. You want to let them do it. And when they hit the point, you can ask them, do you want a hand with that?
Mm-hmm.
And if they say yes, then you can, you know, help jigger. Sometimes what I'll do is I'll hold the bottom piece and say, here, now you push your piece down on top of it. But if they say no, I want to go at it, then just let them have at it, man.
My basic, again, first time trying this was I showed her how to do the first piece. Like if it was like a multiple, you know, if there were like several pieces that were kind of similar in a row, I would just be like, all right, this is how you do the first one. Now you do the rest.
That's a good.
And that was very effective, I found.
That's a very effective. And a lot of times there will be a step with symmetrical sides, right? So you're putting four pieces on one side, four pieces on the other. Yeah. And especially early on when your kid is just learning how to follow all the steps, what you can do is say, hey, how about you'll do the one side with the 4x2s and I'll do the other side with the 4x2s. And then they can just watch you do it while they do theirs and you do a little monkey see monkey do.
Yeah, it worked. It mostly worked. It mostly worked.
Do you have the app?
Thing? No, I don't know what that is.
So there is an app which lets you scan the QR code on the front page of your directions, which then just sets up an account for you. It's a Lego app. And so when you lose the directions, because you will lose the directions or you will throw them out, and then 3.5 years from now, when she comes to you and says, but this thing fell apart and I want to rebuild it.
Yeah.
You can just say, oh, that's fine. I got it right here on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
And you don't have to hold on to the stuff.
Very helpful.
The other thing was once the thing had been completed, I had to explain to her that this is mostly a looking toy. Like not a playing toy. It's like, you know, you can play with it, but it's gonna fall apart, and if it falls apart, you're gonna have to put it back together, and I'm not gonna be able to help you. You might lose pieces. She was very skeptical about this.
Legos are meant to come apart.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can put them back together. That's all you establish as a baseline that the purpose of this toy is for it. Coming apart is the design purpose of it.
Mm. I don't like that.
Well, then you need to get the Kregel.
I need to get like a Lego mausoleum that I can put in her room that's just like a locked glass cabinet, like a Lucite cabinet. Be like, now this goes in here. And you can just look at it forever.
That like is the some heads ace in, parenting.
Like the heads in Return to Oz. Just like the horror heads. Have you guys seen Return to Oz? Have you ever seen that movie?
No.
Terrifying. you should send a VHS of that movie back to your 7-year-old self. Be like, watch this. Watch this kid.
So it's funny, you know.
JBL, how are you? How are you doing?
We're on opposite sides of the spectrum. You're doing your first Lego sets. Shannon has the three little kids down at the beach. I am in Virginia with Flash. And among the many things that Flash and I are going to do this week is that I'm going to teach him to shave.
Ooh.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. That's a thing that's happening.
Oh, my gosh.
Today, when it was lunchtime, because he has all this homework from the summer that he has not done yet. And, you know, he goes back to school in 3 weeks. Mm-hmm. So I'm doing my work. He's doing his work. And we get to lunch. I said, what do you want to do for lunch? He goes, let's go to Taco Bell. So I said, okay. So let's go to Taco Bell. What do you want? He goes, oh, I want the 12-pack. I said, I'm sorry, the what? The 12-pack of the soft tacos. Oh, they're awesome.
And what are you having, Dad?
I said, you can get 10. You're not gonna eat 12. He goes,
you're gonna negotiate.
Is that a challenge? I could do. So I bought him the 12-pack. As God is my witness, he housed it in like 15 minutes.
Oh, well, I mean, that does not shock me, because I remember being about that age when the what was the ridiculous like monster box?
Oh yeah.
Like, it was like 25 tacos and like two burritos and like a gordita
and a Mexican
and nachos
pizza.
And a Mexican pizza. And like my friends and I would like each get one of those and eat most of it just on general principle, just cuz we could.
Yeah, it's been pretty great. We've gone to like 5 baseball games in the last 7 days. We're going to another one tomorrow. We're going to go see the Phillies playing the AAA Nationals. It's been great. It's been super great. It is weird and fun. I was trying to explain this to somebody. Hitting a stage where your kid is old enough that he has his own stuff going on. And so when you have conversations, you are bringing some things to the table and he is bringing some things to the table. You know, he spends a lot of time with his guitar. And he has gotten very into the history of rock. And so he'll come and be like, do you know that, you know, when Jimi Hendrix was only 24, he did X, Y, and Z. And I'm just like, no, actually, I did not know that. You know, and it's really cool. Yeah. It's cool. It's it almost makes it all worth it.
Has he gone through his Pink Floyd stage yet?
No, he has not. He does a lot of Zeppelin. Loves the Rolling Stones. Loves, funnily enough, Guns N' Roses a lot, Bon Jovi, digs Rage Against the Machine, likes Hendrix, appreciates Dylan for what Dylan is, but just, you know, the whole folk rock thing really doesn't strike. It is very interesting. I mean, I would say for a 13-year-old, all of whose friends are still, like, doing Lil Nas X and Old Town Road, his tastes are reasonably sophisticated.
Well, his tastes track with yours and around the same age.
You know, no. It started with like Guns N' Roses, but then as he got deeper and deeper into the guitar world, he was the one seeking out like Ozzy Osbourne and Zeppelin, which I never did.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah. No, I was much more of like a British alt rock, like New Order and The Cure and The Smiths and that sort of stuff back when I was a kid.
Emo, yeah. JBL.
Well, sure. Yeah. Anyway, so he is. I was originally going to say that you know, he housed those 12 tacos like in a some sort of jungle animal. Speaking of jungle animals,
hey,
Jungle Cruise.
With the box office thoughts. Do we have box office thoughts?
The really cute girl from Edge of Tomorrow. And the guy who used to be a wrestler.
Emily Blunt, you show some respect. Devil Wears Prada.
Quiet Place 1 and 2.
Sonny, yeah. Would you like... Wait a minute. Should we make Ryan give us a big boy review?
Yeah. Do we not want to talk box office thoughts? Don't we have box office thoughts?
I don't know anything about the box office. Tell me.
So the it's actually kind of interesting.
My job. I didn't do that.
This was another Disney Premier Access movie, and it did about $30 million there, and it did about $30 million at the box office, which is not far off of like Rampage, I think, was the movie that people were comparing this to. Rampage, not exactly a huge hit, so if I'm Disney, I'm slightly disappointed by this. it will be interesting to see how it holds, because the family-oriented stuff has actually held pretty well. Cruella, for instance, did not open super strong. I think it did $25 million or something like that, while also doing the premier access thing. But it legged out to around 90 or so. So it did okay business. We'll see if this legs out to 120 or so. I think Disney's probably happy. The other box office thought is the other two, like, kind of big new releases were The Green Knight and Stillwater, which was very interesting to me because Stillwater is the Matt Damon movie that's out now, a big Matt Damon movie. Everyone likes Matt Damon. That did like $5 million, and The Green Knight beat it by like 30%. Which, again, is interesting because The Green Knight is just kind of like an indie art house type movie with a kind of weird esoteric plot that audiences hated, but it still did better on opening weekend. So basically, at this point, an A24 art house horror movie is a bigger draw than Matt Damon in a non-born movie, is what it comes down to. Anyway, that's all the box office thoughts I had.
I have very real questions about whether or not this is going to play as a family film, but we'll talk about that later. Yeah. Ryan, would you care to give us a big boy review?
I didn't prepare one, but I mean,
I don't ever prepare one either. It's fine. Oh, you just wing it. It's great.
Now you're really killing me. No, we saw White Girl Moana, basically, Emily Blunt is a explorer, but she's not able to join the Royal Explorers Club because they don't allow women. She's kind of a Percy Fawcett.
Sexism.
So she gets
lady
her brother.
Explorers. Next thing you'll say, you'll have lady lawyers.
She wears pants.
Pants.
She wears pants. Can you believe it?
That's right. They did mention that she wears pants.
That was like the funniest running bit to me because I was just like, how lazy is this joke, this pants joke? They keep going back to it. They went back to it so many times. It was like Family Guy thing where it was like right. Not funny at first, and then it was actually kind of funny.
Yeah, or that's what I thought too. Or like a Christopher Guest thing where like they did it so much that by the end I was like, okay, I'm on board with
up.
That. I hated it for
I
most
give up.
Of the movie, but it was...
I think the moment that flipped me was when they had the guy, the 400-year-old Spaniards saying it. She's wearing pants. The woman in pants. I was like, all right, that's actually kind of funny. Sorry, I don't mean to interrupt your big boy review. I hate it when Vic does that.
I think that was... you're going to make me do this. she needs to find the Tears of the Moon because she wants to cure all kinds of diseases, save people's lives. I'm telling this out of order. She needs to get to the place. The Rock is the only one that knows the place, and he can take her on the riverboat. Does one of you want to save this from me doing a terrible
job? I think you had it with White Girl Moana.
White Girl
Frankly,
Moana.
White Girl Moana is...
They used some of the same jokes as they did in Moana. When he said, I warmed up the water for you. That was the Moana joke where he said, if you feel warm water, you know you're going the right way.
Yeah. Jungle Cruise. So Jungle Cruise stars Emily Blunt and Dwayne Johnson as an odd couple trying to find what it amounts to the Tree of Life in the Amazon. This movie does... so many things that so many other movies have done better. I mean, this is basically a dumber version of The Mummy somehow. The Mummy, the Brendan Fraser Mummy, not the original Mummy. But it's like a dumber version of The Mummy, which is fine. It doesn't need to be genius, but it like down to the same like action man, woman explorer beats, that movie used. And it's like a worse animated version of the Pirates of the Caribbean, the first Pirates of the Caribbean, which like obviously the idea and the predecessor here is you have a Disney ride. So let's just kind of copy that template that we used on Pirates of the Caribbean down to the like the villains simply wanting to die. They want to be released from the curse of living. I mean, it's like the exact same thing, which is kind of interesting in and of itself. But it, but Pirates of the Caribbean does it better. And Pirates of the Caribbean looks better. Maybe I just haven't watched the original Pirates of the Caribbean in a long time.
It definitely. But,
this... No, go ahead.
I was just going to say this was some of the most like blatant product placement. I mean, the fact that they all the boat scenes were shot using Zoom backgrounds was just really bad.
It's really distracting.
No, a lot of Pirates is shot on location, right? Actually outdoors, and that makes it look better.
Yeah. I mean, this movie, the CGI in this movie, like from the backgrounds to the animals that are through it, is atrocious. It's just like, is really, really fake. I mean, there's a moment, I remember, there's a moment in this movie where Dwayne Johnson, who plays the only riverboat captain who will take Emily Blunt and her gay brother down the Amazon to find the Tree of Life. Oh, I'll get to that in a minute. I'll get to that in a minute. But this captain played by Dwayne Johnson, has a big fight with a jaguar in a bar, and it is. I mean, it's literally like it's like late 90s, early aughts CGI quality.
It's not as good as Jurassic Park.
It looked fake. Yeah. It looked fake, and I was like, and I thought to myself, well, maybe this is because I'm watching it at home on a screener. It's like a DVD quality. But I imagine
I went to the theater. It was bad.
Just as bad.
Yeah.
All right. So let's see. I'm just reading off my Letterboxd review now because I really did not prepare anything. All right. So like this whole Disney thing where they have a character talk about how they are gay and how they like have to live a secret life without having them ever actually say I am gay has gone from being like kind of weird but like I get it to just like pathetic at this point. Just like stop it. Just stop.
You want him to go to town on Dwayne Johnson in the movie?
I just say like
have them do it on screen.
I'm gay, and that's why my uncle wanted to disinherit me. But I'm not going to turn my back on who I am. I'm a homosexual in the 19th century or whatever. Just do it, and like instead of this like footsieing around, this tap dancing around. It's like weird. It drives me kind of crazy because it's just so like wanting to have it both ways. It's wanting to have like be, you know, patted on the back for having this brave, you know, oh, look, we've got a gay character in this family movie without actually like alienating the families. Just do one or the other. Don't do both.
Ryan, you don't have to raise your hand, Ryan. That's not how it works on this show.
I can't see you because I've got this pop filter in my way.
Do have a slightly different take on that character because for the first half of the movie I hated everything they were doing with that for all the reasons that you've said. I was just like, what year is this movie made that we're still making gay characters like look like this? Just, you know, oh, he's girly, he likes a lot of stuff, you know how girls have a lot of stuff, he does too.
But he likes to wear evening dinner jackets on this rundown cruise boat.
Once he finally tells The Rock, like, they sit down and he says, I had to turn down all the offers of all the women who were to be my bride because my, tastes lie elsewhere. And that's as close as they get to saying it. He says, I was ostracized for who I love. Right after that, he becomes a real person. Like, everything's toned down. He's like, he punches The Rock after that. His voice changes. He drops it down. He's not doing a ridiculous kind of like caricature accent. And so I took that as like, what they were trying to do was like, this is how some people see gay people. But then like, once they say, he basically says he's gay. And then after that, he's just a person. And he was just a person the rest of the movie. The rest of the movie, he was just a guy.
You're giving them way too much credit because like 20 minutes after this scene, they do a whole bit where The Rock is like refusing help from him because it's a bunch of gay double entendres.
Yeah, I thought that was funny though.
Two gay double entendres, which are so, so lofty. So somebody in my wife's Twitter world, and for all I know, it's one of our friends in the SSEU said, oh, you know, halfway through the movie, there's all these oral and anal jokes. And so I was like, really? That seems weird. And so there's like two of them, and they are double entendres so high concept that the 13-year-old boy sitting next to me didn't register with them at all.
No.
And I don't know that Vic would have picked up on it, frankly.
Oh, come on.
And
I think,
you know what? Those are Vic caliber double entendres.
I don't know. A lot of people in our theater did not. My wife and I laughed out loud at those two. I liked them, both of those jokes. Yeah. But
I mean,
most
I thought the theater was
silent. And
see, but here's the thing. I think that's actually a funny bit, but if it's going to be funny that he is gay, then like just have him be a gay guy. The whole thing just annoys me. I
have a very opposite view of this, which is that Disney is trying to tread the line between being inclusive and being something that if you are a, you know, gay 13, because this is a PG-13 movie, a gay 13-year-old out there seeing this feels like there's some recognizable character in there. You'd be like, oh, look, okay, I'm not a total freak. Without creating questions that if you are at the theater with a 5-year-old kid, you know, just without having to create a conversation that parents have to have with that 5-year-old kid about homosexuality earlier than you would like to have it with them. And I think that this achieves that very nicely. Actually, it's one of the only things that I thought was handled well in the movie.
Hate to... This is why JVL brought me on, but JVL is always right.
Ugh. Another thing that's bad about this movie is Paul Giamatti's accent, which is basically a hate crime. It's a hate crime right out of the trailer for House of Gucci. I don't know if you guys saw. Did you guys watch the trailer for House of Gucci? The
yes.
Ridley Scott
yeah.
movie with Adam Driver and Lady Gaga.
Yeah.
As
is she Donatella Versace?
She's, I guess, a Gucci.
Oh, right. Sorry. Gucci,
not
Versace.
Not Versace.
Jared Leto.
Yes. Jared Leto and his ridiculous fat. The accents in that trailer are bad, but the accent in this movie, again, it's like they must have just driven a dump truck of cash up to Paul Giamatti's house and do a hate crime for us on this movie.
At least him and Jesse Plemons were in the same movie. They both were like, we know what movie. They were exactly as ridiculous as each other.
Yeah.
So
I didn't like Meth Damon very much in this movie either. I didn't think he was that good.
Yeah, I mean Meth Damon.
Damon. Who is that?
He's in Breaking Bad. He looks like Matt Damon. People
he's the German.
Him Meth Damon.
Oh, the fat German.
Yeah,
guy.
The fat German, yes.
Gotcha.
The woman in pants joke, the woman in pantalones joke, running thing again. It kind of won me over at the end. And the other weird thing that annoyed me in this was the orchestral "Nothing Else Matters" bit, which is already an orchestral song.
Yeah,
which it's like they were like, well, we need to get the version that they did with the San Francisco Symphony Orchestra. We can't just have the one from the album. We got to get like. I was just like, just okay, whatever.
I meant to look this up. Was there any significance to why they?
No idea.
I was like, okay, what are the lyrics?
I wonder if that is a bit of music that has been played on the ride because
that
this thing is
possibly
stuffed full of Easter eggs and nods to the history of the Jungle Cruise ride.
If I don't know anything about that.
You
can talk about that in a minute. The one thing I will say that I thought worked in this movie was Dwayne Johnson and Emily Blunt, who I thought are very good together. I like both of them together and separately. I thought Dwayne Johnson's bit where he's doing the like dad joke puns at the beginning and everybody's groaning, like, I made me laugh. I was like,
it was good.
Just like him just like tossing them off with the straightest face. Mm-hmm. It cracked me up, and I think Emily Blunt is incredibly charming. I think she is like the most charismatic female lead working in movies today, possibly in that age range of like, you know, 30 to 40. She's just very, very good in this and in everything else that I see her in. I love her.
She is game.
She'll do whatever. Even in the terrible Mary Poppins sequel or reboot or whatever that was. She was very good at that.
Yeah, even if stuff is not working around her, she's just, it doesn't matter whether it's broad comedy or sci-fi action.
Yeah.
She's just down to throw herself into it and to play, to really play, be committed to it.
Mm-hmm.
And
she commits to the bit.
She really does. And I find that very impressive.
Yeah. I have nothing but praise for almost everything she does.
So this is why, this is why in the end I can't hate this movie.
Mm-hmm.
Because all it needs to do is charm me on a fairly regular basis. And even with the terrible CGI, and even with we haven't even talked about what the actual plot of this movie is, involving 400-year-old Spaniards being trapped in the jungle. They need river water for some reason. If they don't get the river water, they turn to stone.
And why?
Which I don't know why they didn't just turn them to stone immediately.
Why did drops of river water bring snakes alive? You know, and not the rest of the guy.
not entirely clear to me. No, like the CGI in this movie is really, really bad, and it kind of does not serve the purpose of the rest of the movie. And like, and nothing, none of this is like, why is one of them is he a mud demon or a shit monster?
One of them controls bees.
One of them controls bees for some reason.
They've been claimed by the jungle.
And their bodies have been ravaged by the jungle for 300 years.
I understand, but I kind of
almost
understand
like Davy Jones's locker.
Exactly. No, but I mean, this is just, it's all just, you know, like bad Pirates of the Caribbean knockoff stuff. It was done better mm-hmm. 20 years ago, which is shocking. I don't know how that happened. But because Emily Blunt and Dwayne Johnson are real stars, I like basically give the movie a pass.
Ryan, what'd you think?
I mean, I have, I've expressed.
Did
a
you
lot
see it
of
alone
my...
or did you take kids?
I took one kid, Jack.
What age?
He's 11.
Okay, and what did he think?
He really liked it. He loved it. And my wife and I both went. And we have the same criticisms, the ridiculousness, it was maybe 10 minutes into The Rock and Emily Blunt being on the boat together that my wife whispered to me, "White girl Moana." And then it just kept going. It was, you know, The Rock trying to talk her out of it. You know, the plot didn't make any sense. The CGI was so bad. All the things we've already said. But I don't know. I'm a sucker for, you get The Rock in some kind of explorer outfit, or, you know, where he's got on a quest. To me, it's a notch below the Jumanji movies. But I'm here for it. I enjoyed it. I ended up liking it because Emily Blunt and him were good enough together. There was enough chemistry between them. And the running dad jokes, I love that. The running bit where The Rock is constantly, you know, setting people up with the tiger fight, with the natives, everything. I was in for it. The only thing I didn't like was the... What was going on with the plot? But if outside of the plot, it was great.
Can we get a quick ranking of jungle movies starring The Rock?
All right, so we've got
number one,
so Jumanji,
The Rundown, Jumanji.
Oh,
number two, The Rundown. Number three, Rampage. Number four, Jungle Cruise.
You put Jumanji over The Rundown?
I haven't seen The Rundown in a long time. I like it a lot.
I forgot about it.
Jumanji, the original Jumanji. I liked it. I like it a ton. The original Jumanji is really good.
The second Jumanji.
Both Jumanjis.
Sorry.
Well, it's the second and third Jumanjis.
Yes.
I would say I would go The Rundown, then the Jumanjis, then this. And then probably Rampage below this.
I would go.
I can't really remember if Rampage was in a jungle at all. It was in.
Who can
it was in
say?
A desert.
There were CGI animals.
There was water.
There was water. He probably had some sort of cutting.
They hunt a wolf in the forest.
But the wolf can fly. Who can
But the wolf can fly. It's not, but it's not like South American forest. It's like North American forest. It's like timber country.
Look, one thing I didn't like about Paul Giamatti was they kind of made him, they didn't make him evil enough. Like the rubber barons of the Amazon, those guys were.
Well, how does it make, I mean, the robber baron should have been Dwayne Johnson's character because he's 400 years old and he built the town.
That's,
if you're the oldest guy in the town, then you are the richest guy, right?
You
if vampires were real, then they would all be billionaires because being able to amass capital infinitely is what makes you rich. It's like the definition of rich. You know, I didn't hate it, but I think you guys are being too soft on it. So when I look at this, I literally have written in my notes, I have Pirates of the Caribbean meets African Queen with a dollop of the Mummy. And it is like all of these other movies, exactly as you said, Sonny, but less interesting.
In but worse.
Every, not worse exactly, but just less interesting, right? And so the big thing that I think it fails for me is the family movie test. So I would argue that this movie is too intense for kids under 8 years old and too babyish for anybody over 12. And so the real target audience for this is going to be 10, 11, 12-year-olds. That's why I asked what the age of the kid, and it does not surprise me that your 11-year-old loved it.
My son, who's almost 13, probably wouldn't have liked it. He didn't.
Right.
He didn't
go. This is, it's a really narrow slice of family for which it's appropriate. And the intensity stuff is largely like the body horror. Like, you know, I think snakes coming out of cuts on a face would give a 7-year-old kid nightmares.
Horrifying.
Yeah. Unnecessary.
Yeah, a friend of the show asked if he should let his kid, if he should get it for his kids. I was like, no, it's too scary for like 8 and under.
And so I can see very easily how you could have done a PG version of this that would have been totally accessible to younger kids in the way, frankly, that the Jumanji movie is. Mm-hmm. Jumanji is fine. And Jumanji played like hell for my group of like 4 through 13. All of them loved the Jumanji.
Yeah.
And so you could have done that with this without compromising anything. It was just a weird choice to make it slightly too dark and intense in only a few scenes. But then, you know, I mean, so I was thinking, you know, what is it? I mean, all of the problems this has, I think, also manifest in Pirates. You know, it's overly long. It takes a little bit too long to get started. It does too many character introductions. There's one too many set pieces. It's slightly too convoluted to the point where with all the double crosses, you can't fully understand who's, you know, what's a double, a triple, and a quadruple cross. The difference is that the first Pirates of the Caribbean is saved by the Jack Sparrow character, who at the time was so out of left field that we spent the whole movie just trying to figure out what the hell was going on. Is he gay? Is he fey? Is he God knows what? Like, it just, everything about it was so, and part of this is Johnny Depp, but part of this is the writing team. I mean, this is, you know, like, he wasn't improvising all of those. Like, you know, the character was written to be played like that. Mm-hmm. And it was so fresh and interesting that it held your attention even through the movie's flaws. And there's nothing like that here. And, I mean, Dwayne Johnson's character is very paint-by-numbers. Emily Blunt's character is very paint-by-numbers. There's nothing wrong with that. And they do have very nice chemistry together. But it just isn't quite enough to hold your attention all the way through the lulls and through the things where it is one action sequence too long, one double cross too long. You know, and so I think it winds up failing in those ways in which, again, of these types of movies, The Mummy is far better. And The Mummy, again, as a kid's movie, The Mummy is way too intense for like an 8-year-old, but it's actiony enough to really hold kids all the way to like 16 or 17 or even to adults, right?
Yeah. I mean, that movie came out in 99, right? So I must have been 17 when that came out.
It was
really either 16
fun
or
to
17.
Watch. Yeah, it was a fun ride, even if you were a teenager.
Yeah.
And I look at it. The other thing is, this does not, I mean, Pirates feels kind of epic in scope because they get you outdoors on the ocean.
Yeah.
this, because you're in a river, it just feels small and constricted almost all the time.
Well, it doesn't help that everything looks so fake all the time. I mean, yes. It doesn't even look like it's shot on a set. It doesn't even look like Congo or something.
No.
Where it's like, okay, this is like a cheap looking set, but at least they're like there.
Yeah. As I said, just all everything in it, it's just not good enough. And it doesn't have to be great, but not good enough to really work.
But it's actively bad in a lot of ways. I mean, that's the problem. It's not that it's not good enough. It's that it fails at doing the things it wants to do.
I think that's right. And the failures here really go to the direction and the writing, you know. People forget Gore Verbinski directed the first Pirates of the Caribbean. Like, it was a weird thing to have Gore Verbinski, who's a real director, who, you know, had real visual flair and sense of style, doing a theme park ride. And the guy who's, I can't pronounce his name, he's a Spanish director, who actually has some interesting indie credits.
Yeah.
But just, almost nothing in it is visually interesting.
It's like getting subsumed into the Marvel style, but without the kind of competent second unit teams guiding the action.
Yes.
That's basically what happened here.
Yes, I would agree with that.
Maybe just because I've recently finished the book about Christopher Nolan, that I just found myself thinking about, like, what would this be like if it were a Christopher Nolan movie? He would have made those actors miserable. He would have put them out there in the rain. He grew corn on the side of a goddamn mountain for Interstellar. Yeah. He would have put them on, you know, in a river, in a boat on a river.
In an alternate timeline.
Just a couple in an alternate timeline.
I would like to take Christopher Nolan's family hostage and force him to direct a movie like this, or like Transformers, or like some totally garbage property, and just see what it would come out like. Because that would be kind of interesting, wouldn't it?
Yeah.
Christopher Nolan's Rampage.
He would do something weird with the sound, in which in the book he admits that, like, when you can't hear the sound, that's your fault, because he was doing something that's never been done before.
That's very Nolan. Yeah. So yeah, but that's all I really had about it. I have a bunch of stuff about the ride, which I think is interesting.
I think it's worth talking about because, you know, the idea of this is like so. I mean, like, the idea when Pirates of the Caribbean, the movie, was announced, everyone rolled their eyes, were like, oh, based on a ride, how dumb could that be? And then it, like, oh, wait, this actually works. Right. Well, but this does not, and I wonder if it has something to do with...
Well, what's funny is that the ride is based on the movie African Queen.
Yeah.
That is literally the inspiration. Yeah. That's what Walt ran around saying. I want it to look like the African Queen. And it's... So it's interesting in that the ride Jungle Cruise premieres at Disneyland and then eventually comes to all the Disney properties. It is different at every Disney property. In the original Disneyland in California, you have the ride is ostensibly through a series of Asian and African rivers. At Disney World in Orlando, it's the Amazon, which is where this comes from. When you go out to Disney Hong Kong, it's all African, I think. It is one of the more coveted jobs at the park because it is a spiel ride. Spiel is the acronym for show awareness, presentation, interaction, enthusiasm, and language, which basically means that the kids who work at the park are allowed to talk to people. But a lot of the people who do this are interested in stand-up, and they are allowed to, with pre-approval, write their own jokes and try to occasionally do improv. And oftentimes, jokes that really work that the kids come up with will get incorporated into the official script, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Originally in the show, the guides had real guns, Smith & Wessons, that they carried that were loaded with blanks. And the guns were used to shoot the hippos when the animatronic hippos came up. The guns also doubled as a system of communicating back with the ride operator main mothership. And so it was two shots was no problem. It's just the part of the ride where you do the hippo attack. Three shots was like there's something wrong with the railing underneath, which is pulling the boat around. Four shots means somebody's had a heart attack on the boat. Five shots meant, I forget what five shots meant.
One but this shot, was done away the right with. Operator committed suicide.
In the 1990s. But the other thing that's interesting is that it was originally a serious ride. It was originally conceived of as a true nature ride to immerse people in exactly what it would have been like. Walt wanted there to be real animals on it. Walt wanted there to be like hippos and stuff. And it was explained to Walt, we can't do that. We can't put a hippopotamus in the river.
You can't put the most dangerous water animal
in a 5 foot
You
can't build a park for dinosaurs.
But it started getting funnier in the 60s, and the ride changed with America in that way. It became more jokey, and
I bet none of those jokes were problematic at all.
Can you only imagine? Anyway, they're always changing it. I think they've recently did a big renovation. It's unclear to me if they're going to lean into the Dwayne Johnsonification of this hard or not. I hope not. I hope it stays its own chintzy thing. I don't know what you guys, your feelings are in Disney World. I love Disney, but I only ever went to Disney without kids. So Shannon and I used to go to Disney every year, once a year, just the two of us before we had children. And going to Disney without kids is an amazing and magical experience. I can't imagine how miserable it would be with children.
Yeah. I've only been to Disneyland, I've been to Disneyland twice, and the last time was when I was 13.
Land or world?
Land.
Ooh.
Land, not world. I have no real desire to go, except I do kind of want to see the new Star Wars world.
Did you see the prices on the cabins?
Galaxy's Edge. Oh, well, no, I mean Galaxy's Edge, not the cruise ship thing. Yeah, did you guys see this today?
Tell me.
Disney put out a release that was like, hey, we've got this new Starship Cruiser thing coming, and basically it's like going on a cruise, but you stay on land, but it's like a starship. It's like a Star Destroyer or whatever. And it's like $4,800 for two nights.
$4,800. No, that's per night. For two people, $4,800.
For two people, $4,800.
I mean, you got to pay the benefits because you're allowed to choke to death an admiral.
Yeah.
Right. You're each allowed to choke one admiral to death.
They give you a real lightsaber and you can just go to town.
I mean, it sounds amazing. I'm sorry. What is there?
It's expensive. That's an expensive thing.
Do a podcast, Sonny.
But Disney is also just expensive. Disney is super expensive. I don't really understand the people who go every year and where they're getting their money
Ryan,
from.
Ryan, where are you, man? Are you Disney people?
I went several times as a kid. I have a lot of family in Florida. My grandparents were there. So I went over the years. You know, as a kid, we went two times where we actually took kids, but that was two kids ago. And so we took two of them when we had three at the time, but we took only two, and it was a nightmare. I mean, it was, you know, there were fun moments, but for the most part, it was, and we always would, it seems like something we talk about where we'd like to do it again with more of them, but it's so expensive and it would just be so bad.
No, I'm looking forward to going again once all of our kids are out of the house. That's the next time I'll be at Disney. Now, did you guys also know, as a bit of trivia, Victory Nomadis, like Ricky Jay, who had his picture up in every casino in Las Vegas as not being allowed to enter the casino floor. I've been told that Disney World has that for Vic at Ariel's Grotto. So there was some sort of incident the last time he was down there, and he is not allowed near Ariel's Grotto under any... They got the restraining order and everything. It's something to do with tentacles. So we are all weirdly in. I have friends who are Disney people, like close friends, and they've got two kids, and they are members of the Disney Timeshare Club, and they just they have going from Northern Virginia to Orlando down to a science. They do it in a straight shot, you know, they leave their room, they leave their house at a certain hour, knowing that they'll get them to their Disney World property. And they've done all of them. Like, they've been to the Disney resorts in Hawaii, and they are so into it. They love it so much. Whenever I'm at their house, they've got the Disney station on Pandora playing, or Spotify. And I always think to myself, it sounds pretty awesome. It looks pretty awesome, but they only have two kids and their kids are older. I can't imagine what it was like when their kids were 4 and 6.
I can. It's the all place right. for kids. Well, that's not all. For kids.
I would like to go with my family at some point, but I barely like going to the mall.
I mean, think about how bad it is going to the pool.
The mall area, just the worst.
Yeah,
just the worst. Going to the pool is fine because I can, like,
the worst.
Nah, it's fine. Because I can just sit on the edge and watch the kids. Go.
Not my kids.
Like the little. Hey, all right, this is great.
I jumped in the pool with my phone yesterday to get one of my kids out. So.
Okay, that's enough Jungle Cruise. Spirit of the week. I don't know what you guys are. Are either of you drinking? I am drinking a Dogfish Head Sea Quench Ale.
I was going to say that looks like a sea quench.
Oh, it is. I really like beer. The sea quenches.
Yeah,
it's a good beer. It's a little bit sour.
Don't tell anyone. This is my second one tonight.
What? You are crazy, man. I was actually going to make a raspberry rum shrub tonight, and I did not because, like, it's a ice drink. You have to have ice in it. It clinks around a lot when you drink it. But the
what is it? Raspberry rum shrub?
Raspberry rum shrub. So it's back from ye olden colonial times. They used to make this. But basically it's rum. And a raspberry shrub, which is like a simple syrup with vinegar and raspberries that you kind of boil down and turn into a syrup, and club soda and ice. You can make it with ginger ale and ice instead of club soda, but that is exceptionally sweet. I don't love it, but it's a wonderful summer drink. It's like the best summer drink.
Sounds really complicated cooking involved. To make.
Yeah, so you have to make the shrub. Well, you can buy a shrub, but if you make it yourself, it only takes like 15 minutes. It's actually not that hard. It's just here's how you do it. You boil together a cup of water, cup of sugar, and once that gets to a boil, you add in 2 pints of raspberries and you lower the heat, you stir it for like 10 minutes. Stir it occasionally for 10 minutes. After 10 minutes, you add a cup of white wine vinegar. You add 2 cups of white wine vinegar and return it to a boil. Once it boils, you let it boil for 2 minutes, turn off the heat, then you got to strain it and stuff, but like, it's really not that hard if you make your own syrups, as I do as a man of leisure and taste. It's really not that, as far as making syrups goes, it's not that hard.
Ryan, what are you drinking there in that little plastic cup?
I am drinking some of my brother Patrick's Johnny Walker Gold Label.
Gold,
fancy.
Yeah.
And you're drinking it from a plastic kid's cup.
Jameson
cup.
It's a plastic
fill of ice.
Jameson cup, because he is in his late 20s and lives alone, so he has only these cups. My daughter drank milk out of this cup today.
Where is the gold on the Johnny Walker color spectrum?
It's, what is it? It's red, black,
blue,
gold, blue,
or is it gold blue?
He told me it was about $120. He bought it as a present for himself when his company won their first trial in which he was an expert witness. Yeah.
There used to be a green. I don't think Green Label is on the market anymore. Maybe they put it back, but it used to be red, black, green, gold, blue. I think now they don't have the green anymore, so it's not the nicest, but it's very good.
Sunny, can I get a ruling on somebody who spends $120 on is Johnny Walker whiskey or scotch?
If I was gonna
plastic, should Patrick treat himself to Amazon sells glass tumblers for $4?
He had cups. He's moving, and they're all of his cups except for the plastic ones are packed.
Okay. That's I'm sorry. I rescind.
I just
wouldn't spend $120 on a blended whiskey. Is all. I will sufficiently chastise him.
When I'm done,
I would get a single malt if I'm going to be spending that sort of money. But
he doesn't. You know. He knows as much as I do about scotch or whiskey, which is probably the expensive is the best.
The expensive's good, right?
Yeah.
All right. That's all the time we're giving to this episode. Questions, comments, complaints, compliments. Tweet us at Sunny Bunch at Ryan. Are you on Twitter?
@@.comma.
@@.comma.
@@.
Or go over to subbeacon.com and leave a comment there.
@SSEUpod.
We're there.
Plug your podcast, Ryan.
And also you should go listen to SSEUpod, which I love it. It's my favorite podcast. And it is the premier podcast for counting, for European orgy stories. Sonny, you will like this. Actually, this is a Vic special. You know what? I'll save it for outtakes. But it is an outstanding show, and everybody should listen to it. I love it.
That's too nice. JBL, Sonny, and Vic have all been on. We made Sonny do a draft.
It was great. I won the draft.
Until next time. So, Sonny, the other great story that they had on the SSEU show last week... and this is a Vic special. Was it the Netherlands?
The Netherlands
has a hooker allowance
up
for
to
people with disabilities.
Up to so one payment for 12 months. So up to 12 payments that you can
flash
use,
go away. You're not supposed to listen to this.
That you can use for a prostitute from the government if you're have a handicap or if you're disabled.
Wait, so it's like per month? They say you can have, you know,
it's a monthly?
How do they determine what is it like an
you're
average?
Getting right into my thing.
Is there an average cost for a prostitute?
Well, that's not my question. My big question.
And they look at you and they decide, how often annually could you probably talk a girl into bed? And if you have like no legs and one arm... You probably say that guy's just not getting any action unless he can pay for it.
Give him the full 12
disability.
It's like a disability rating.
If you
for like the military,
if you just
like
have like
I'm 85%
disabled
disabled
arm, one mangled hand. They're like, you know what? You could stick that in your jeans pocket. She won't even know. You'll get her slipper roofie, and then you could probably get laid 3 times a year.
We'll give you
so
nine.
You get 9 payments.
Because apparently they decided it's a right. To have sex once a month.
It is a human right.
Sure, so.
A human right. Sonny, you have always been against socialism, and I have to think that we're changing your mind right now, or at least changing Victorino's mind.
Well, I mean, I feel like if you want to have sex, you should pay for it yourself, not rely on the teat of government to get the teat of the hooker.
But is that... What about the... You don't care about taking care of those who can't take care of themselves, the poor, the...
No. I feel bad for the woman subjected to these monsters.
You should see the picture. You should see the picture that came with the article, because it is a man in a wheelchair with just he looks like it's the happiest day of his life, and he is in an electric wheelchair pushing himself along with a woman sitting on his lap, and she kind of has a look like, I guess we're doing this.
This is my life. I've made a series of bad choices,
no.
And they've resulted in this. Should be getting an anti-prostitution campaign.
That is a line of work that she chose, and you should respect, Sonny.
I don't respect it. I don't respect the people who can't afford to pay for it themselves. Bums! The bums will always lose, Mr. Last!
The bums had their chance. But now, I wonder if any of these guys ever use that money to procure a teach job.
I don't get it.
Ryan,
I'm sure it's fine. Whatever you said, I'm sure it's
Ryan,
fine.
Ryan, you're the guest. You get to say it. Go ahead.
I'm sure it's fine.